I kind of created a little bit of a formula for my life where I started, again, being more mindful. If I didn't feel good during a day, if I was depressed or was angry, upset, I started saying, okay, what did I eat today? Who did I talk to today?
Well, here's the other thing that's, I find fascinating. When you talk about the person who doesn't want to lose their beach house, doesn't want to lose their car, doesn't want to. How many of them don't want to lose it? How many of them are scared to think about what other people think they're going to think of them for losing it?
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, probably.
That's and it's like, I'd say more than half probably don't even give a shit about it.
You're right. It's that. It's the stat. It's so much status. And I know so many people living fake status right now. Like, I'm like, no. It's you. We know a lot of the same people. They're like, no, it's over, actually. Your career, it's over. But they're still out trying. Look, I'm doing this and I'm doing that. Like,
I met a guy, and nobody will be able to guess this. So I can give the background. He owns multiple $100 million properties that are not houses. And literally, he's trying to figure out how to get $5 million to pay his Amex bill this month. And I'm like, what is like, and it just triggered to me, like, I know, you know, we all know a lot of very wealthy people. We all know a lot of like greats, but this perception that people feel like, I'm like, if I was this person, I've got $100 million house here. I got $100 million house there. I've got two planes. He could sell any one of those things, but yet he's literally freaking out about how am I going to pay my Amex bill, which happens to be, I don't know, you spend $5 million on it. I can spend a lot of money. I don't think I could put $5 million on my Amex bill, but, you know, maybe I could find a way. My mom taught me. And that's what I, like, kind of wish for everyone, when they realize, you know, like, for me, when I'm with my kids and they're happy, and we're at the house, and I can see them everywhere and hear them everywhere. And daddy's not up in the office. Daddy's in the office back there. And my kids know. Yeah. They'll come in. They see I'm on a call. They'll leave me alone. They'll come sit in my lap.
It's so important for them to see you have a work ethic, because you're not going to get anywhere in life without work. That's how you're going to get value. But
we have this, like, you know, and this is one of my favorite stories. So my son, about a year ago, when he was about 7, started talking about billionaires. And I don't know, at school, he goes to Curtis. And every year, I let him, I throw really a birthday party for him in the house, and we turn the house into a
bee. Does he know you're with a bee? That's our code, by the way, when I go out to a party with my friends. I'm like, with a bee? And like, oh yeah, with a bee. With a bee? No, multiple M's. I know, I've done it with Natasha.
So what's really funny is he was 7 at the time. And we don't really talk about money. And, you know, he goes to Curtis, which is, you know, whatever. And every year, so you picked one year, a Marvel birthday. So I had all the Marvel cast come. And we always do these great parties. I do them for the adults and the kids. And I make sure both have fun. And then he wanted Star Wars one year. And then we did a whole ninja thing. And last year, about right quarter through the year, he said, I know what I want for my birthday. What, the theme? What do you want? He said, billionaire. Swear to God. And he's... Yeah, like I said, we don't live in a giant house. We live in, I've been, you know, we go to his friend's houses, you know, and I'm like,
it's kind of funny.
And I'm like, so, buddy, what do billionaires look like? And he literally says, well, I think you are one, or were one, or something. So someone obviously said something to him, and I'm like, what do they look like? Like, when you want billionaires, he goes, like Elon Musk, I want him in my party. I'm like, let's say we can't have Elon Musk. What does a billionaire mean? Like, you want billionaires at your party? And he didn't understand why. This is part of why, when I started doing the show, I'm like, and it's flipping through YouTube. It's being on TV. So we had this talk. We had to talk about money, actually. And I said, so if you were a billionaire, what would you do? It's like, I'd buy, like, points to the one house, you know, that's called the one, and it's, we live by it. He's like, I'd probably buy that house and 100 Lamborghinis, and, you know. And he says, what would you buy? He said, exactly what we have. He said, because I'm like, and people love to come to our house, because it's very open and warm, and, you know, like I said, it's not big and blah. And I said, I wouldn't get anything different than what we have. And he like stopped and he thought, and he like, it put him in a tailspin. Like, wow, I'm supposed to say I want him, all these Lamborghinis in that giant house, but like, would you really want to move out of your room and move out of our house? And like, think about if we were in, during COVID, I rented a fairly large house in Bel Air for an office because you couldn't have office space. So I'm like, would you want to live in like that house? You were scared to go in the other room. Like, because he'd come visit me in the office, right? And he's like, no, right? So, and it just kind of like, I saw his eight-year-old brain going,
starting to realize,
trying to figure out, like, wow, okay. But the fact that at eight, that's what kids are thinking. He went from Marvel to billionaire. And I'm like, yeah. And he's, we don't talk about money now.
I feel like, you know, for young people, it's, the other thing is looking, having things to look forward to. When we were in Van Nuys, our first house, very modest house Marie and I got, and we had these wonderful neighbors, Margie and Al, and they saw, I was like, oh, I'm turning the garage into this, and I'm doing that, and then I'm going to put it like a hot tub over here, and did it, and she shook her head, and I said, oh, Margie, what, you know, they were like our parents, you know, and she said, you know, me and Al, we worry about you two kids because we think you're getting too many things too fast, and just, why don't you spend a little less and leave some things for later? And that always stuck with me. And so I'm going to jump around, but you guys probably saw Quiet on the Set on HBO, and you think of young people who had it all then.
Yeah.
And now it's very difficult for them. And so I'm always saying that, guys, later, everything to look forward to later. I'd rather have it ahead of me. Like, I feel like it's all ahead of me. Whereas I'm so glad it didn't go how I wanted it to go, because I would have had it all behind me and I would have squandered it. Who golly knows what I would have done with it. But I think it's more inspiring to have things to look forward to and have ahead of you than to have it, you know?
So that's exactly what I've been trying to instill now in my, he's now eight, he doesn't talk about billionaires anymore, but his mother, who grew up basically on a farm in South Africa, my ex-wife, who's my best friend, you know, came to, you know, we need to like not buy any things anymore. He has too much stuff, and you know, he's not.
What does he love? What's he love to do?
So he is absolutely, hands down, the most obsessed with Elvis Presley you've ever met. So now he's found his passion with that time. But what he's done for a whole different money story,
I love this.
That is, I'm going to show you something you're going to love.
Are you going to get him with Elvis's granddaughter? You must know her. She's an amazing actress.
I do.
And hasn't she taken over Graceland? Let's go.
Graceland in 3 weeks.
Okay. Are you going to get, will you be able to get into the bedroom?
We're staying in the bedroom.
You know, there's only like, has that changed? Isn't it like only under 10 people have been in Elvis's bedroom?
Yeah. It's
didn't Nicolas Cage marry her to get into that bedroom?
Probably.
No, literally. I'm not kidding. Like, Clinton couldn't get in.
Okay, so
I love that an eight-year-old is, because I'm pretty obsessed with
Elvis.
So I love Elvis too. I'm also like obsessed with Jack Lord, the original Hawaii 5-0 star.
Yeah.
And no one knows about their story.
Yeah.
It's a, I don't know if you know, it's a really poignant story between the two of them that took place the last 5 years of Elvis's life. And one of the reasons why, legend has it, I believe this, Aloha from Hawaii happened was all because Elvis was a Hawaii 5-0 fan and he wanted to meet Jack Lord. So when Colonel Parker landed in Hawaii, first thing he had to drive to Jack Lord's house, and he met with the wife Marie. He said, please, you have to come to the show. He's like, oh, well, yeah, my husband's not into that rock and roll stuff. And he gets up at 3 a.m. He had this like Herculean work ethic. And they developed this. That night, they go to see the show. You can hear in the live recording of the first night, he said, I'd like to introduce one of the finest American actors we have, Mr. Jack Lord. So they meet backstage really quick, and Elvis is like, we got to get dinner. And you know how that's a thing in Hollywood to this day. We'll get dinner, which is, get away from me. We'll see you later, right?
We talked about that on our episode, which is that I stopped all dinners
except with friends.
Does it give you anxiety?
Yes. Yeah. It's not fun. Why? I mean, dinner is something enjoyable and social. And that's, so I've never done them.
I used to have to do 3 or 4 a night.
Yeah, no, no, I can't, no, 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 no. Well, I'd make them social and then they would confuse the person. Yeah. Like, well, why are we here? Like, I'm not, we can just meet somewhere else. But so they, so that night Elvis shows up, he rings the, her buzzer rings, Marie Lord, and she's like, ah, who is it? It's Elvis, I'm here for dinner. And she was like, oh my God. But they come upstairs and here's the part your son might enjoy, is Elvis presented him with a box, a wood, nice wooden box. He opens it up, and inside are two solid gold pearl-handled 22s. Oh. And Jack's like, what is this? Jack Lloyd said, what is this? He said, are these for me? He said, no. He said, this is for you. One, this one's for you, this one's for me. So the one that he got Jack Lloyd, Maria bought for me. So I have it. We have to show your son if he wants to.
He also upset me.
Okay, so we'll bring him over. So it's just like, it's basically like a, you know, I have this thing and it's just one. Just, I don't know. And he gave one to Sammy Davis, and then that also got sold. Maria's bidding with these people in Germany about 20 years ago. Yeah, she's like, what am I even doing? My husband's insane. I also got Jack Lloyd's suit, by the way.
So,
like, but I want your son to see the guns. You know,
I believe it's. It comes back to like the universe that we create. So when I said, so my son saw the Baz Luhrmann ring, Elvis, and after that time, just couldn't, he only about
that. Were you part of that movie?
No.
I thought, what a beautiful depiction. Finally, I thought it was really nice.
We've probably watched it 150 times with no exaggeration. Like the argument is, no, we're not watching Elvis tonight. But he bought 5 suits on his own now, 3-piece, all exactly Elvis's. Blue suede shoes, the leather pants that you saw, the glasses, the tie. So when we have free, yes, free, you know, they wear uniforms, free dress day, Curtis. Everybody else wears their, like, their jersey, their fit. He puts.
Is he more rockabilly Elvis?
He is.
Or 60s.
I'd say he's more 60s Elvis. Yeah. He's much more like.
He's got the black suit, the blue glasses.
Yeah. And he also, so, you know, Elvis was a natural blonde.
Yeah. And the jet black.
I mean, he actually looked, which is even weirder, because I look back at older pictures of Elvis, like they could be related. And so Tommy blow dries his hair now. I mean, his hair is
Elvis. Yeah, his lips are very similar.
He's got, thank God he looks like his mom. And, you know, she was still as one of the most beautiful women in the world. So he got her, like, but he literally just. So he comes home from school. I have mics, because I grew up as a musician. He grabs my mics. He tells Alexa to put on an Elvis song. He sings it. So I'm putting him in dance classes now, and that's all he can think about.
I love it. So
the crazy thing is, my other son, who goes to Worship Temple School, they have this like auction randomly, and they're like at one of the galas. And then one of the families controls like the Graceland estate. Like we're auctioning off 2 nights stay at Graceland, and you get to be in Elvis' bedroom. I'm like, wait, what? For 2 people. I'm like, can I just hold my hand up? I don't care what it costs.
No. Oh my God.
Guess what, Tommy?
Number one most visited place in the United States.
And so what I told him, he's like, stop it. Stop it, Dad. Stop it. It can't be true. Like he's, and then he was like, just, he can't wait to meet. He wanted to meet Priscilla, which we're arranging, and it's all he like.
I'm sure she would be great. Yeah.
Yeah.
She would love to meet you. I'm sure.
I mean, I know her not well, but I've had dinner with her a few times. But that's what he's into. It's Elvis Presley, everything. He spends his time researching what suit to get.
So that's what my point is. I always try to get to even people who have addiction. I was like, okay, stop. Just what do they love? And sometimes the parents will answer with the wrong answers because they're thinking about money or what's a career. I go, no. Just what do they love? And okay, even if it's video games, okay, all right, video games, all right, great. So there's development video games, there's writing video games, there's like, you know, even people who love sports. I'm always saying to them, like, dream doesn't have to end. You're a Division III athlete. You didn't make it. There's so much money in sports marketing, sports management, sports administration. sports medicine, now with the gambling, fantasy, so fantasy leagues. But I always try to like target, like, so to get people away from materialism, so he and his heart, he loves Elvis. Great. Let's do it.
This was the best growth thing ever. So he's doing really well in school, except for music, which is shocking. And a music teacher texted me saying he wasn't listening, and he's a really good kid, like really, really just sweetest kid in the world. I get more calls from parents saying thank you because he stands up to school bullies, like even for kids he doesn't know. And so they said he and one other kid were messing around and he wouldn't listen to her. And I'm like, that's just not like him. So I went into meet with her teacher day after I met with the parents. And I asked him, I was like, they did a multicultural concert. So all the songs were in different languages, which is hard for an 8-year-old.
Yeah.
And the dances are all, he just didn't really understand. So I went and I told her, I showed her these videos and dancing that I just showed you. She's like, oh my God. I'm like, no, he's obsessed with music. So, and he kept telling me how he doesn't like music class. It's strange. Is this, that. So I went home and said, you're going to go tomorrow at lunch to music class. Like, what do you mean? Like, they love Elvis. They know how to play.
So what did Mr. Miyagi teach us? No bad student.
Yeah.
Only bad teacher.
Right.
Is that you need to target him and what he loves and then go in that way.
Like, I can do that. It's like, yeah, Bill, guitar, piano, singing, dancing. He's like, what should I do first? Like, I don't know what to do anything with you. And so the same teacher that he was in trouble with, he's now going during lunch to go like hang with.
Right. But you gotta find, you found the what he loved and then how to apply it.
Well, we're gonna wrap it up and we're so grateful to
have you guys.
Listen, your story is one of the most inspiring.
Wow.
It's, I think, still a part of date. We've had quite a few people. To me, probably one of the most important because it's, I'll call it the story of the least selfish and the most, when a person puts everything into helping others. And you don't even see that you have this special gift and that your failures all led up for you to eventually help people you love. And, whether it's your wife or your friend. And I think for a lot of people that are watching, a lot of times we don't realize like we fail and our failures are there so that we can help other people not make those mistakes.
Yeah. Because that's
what makes us feel good. And it's clear that's what makes you feel good.
Yeah. I really enjoy it.
You like to help people. And it's kind of like, why does a doctor become a doctor? Not because they're going to be famous. They like to help people. Like, why do you end up where you are? Well, clearly you wanted to help people.
But I didn't even know that.
Right.
I thought make movies and do you know what I mean? Like I was thinking, I love the creative and all that. And I still do. But then the failures bring you to that place. If you trust the process, you trust the universe, trust God, whatever it is. And I feel like if you don't mess with karma, you have to be decent along the way and you hang in. Eventually it kind of all comes around and puts you where you want to be. And if someone told me this one time, if we all got what we wanted in this world, we'd be married to our seventh grade sweetheart. Right.
Yeah.
So
worse.
Right. And a lot worse. So that's why it's like, it's okay. You never lose unless you quit. You stay in and just eventually it does come around, but you're not supposed to get what you want. And if you look back at your life, you start looking at, oh my God, if I got that, if I got this, oh my God, if I got
look
that.
At every turn and think about, oh, I wanted this more than anything.
And then
if I got it.
Right. And now you look back.
And so everything, the universe does have a plan. And obviously yours was a really important one to help others. And yet in helping others, now you get to do all the creative stuff you wanted.
Hopefully. I shouldn't say that. Yes. Yeah. Well,
inspired me, and I'm very hard to inspire. I'm a person that believes about motivation. Motivation is kind of something to get you going. I know you say that's what you're looking for, but you're an inspiration within yourself. So all you gotta do is look within the mirror, and I guarantee you what you're gonna do from this day forward, it's gonna be a blessing to other people. You're gonna do some other great things. You're gonna be able to do your production and things like that. You have it in you.
Thank you.
It's been a true lesson to be able to
really
share the stage with you.
And Ryan, he needs a show.
Oh, no. He
All right, we're gonna. All right, good. No, I have another idea, but off camera. I just got hit with a bunch of things. So
no, I can tell you, I see it. I see the vision clearly. Like, you're going to help a lot of people. You already have helped people, but that's your next thing. Is you're gonna do something really big, that like Tony Robbins level help people. I obviously he's not like Tony Robbins, but like which he is. Yes. But I do feel you're gonna. Whatever.
He's better because he can land the plane. He's zen.
Well, he's very zen. Yeah. He's tuned in, but you have tapped into a part of yourself, and you're using everything we've learned. I know it with every part of my being. You will end up helping a lot more people than you've already helped.
Your mouth to God's ears, right?
You guys have it. Do so today and make sure you subscribe to our channel today and turn on your post notification. It's a little bell right there. So every time we post and we put our show up, you'll be notified. Make sure you drop comments below so we can interact with you and see what you think. And we're here to not only use our success, but also to tell the stories of everyday people and people that have their own stories that can help you build your own story.
And one thing I want to say to those of you who are leaving comments that are negative, as we talked about earlier, I feel bad for you guys. I really do. And I'm not saying that sarcastically.
Right.
You're probably hurting for something going on. And I know you think it's going to make you feel better. And if it makes you feel better, you should do it. But just know we're here to try and help people. And whatever you're going through, hopefully it gets easier too.
Oh, it's beautiful.
Peace.
Bye, guys.